Welcome to the Speech Uncensored podcast. My name is Leanne. I'm your host, and we are doing a series on the one thing in speech pathology. And it's been a great series so far. I've loved all the guests and all the topics that we've been talking about and enjoying on the podcast. This has been fun. And this week, I'm joined by Rinky. Welcome, Rinky.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, I'm so glad. And I really like your topic a lot. I think it's so fun because everyone's been talking about like what their one thing is, but you're going to be talking about finding that one thing. And it's like, is this a roadmap? Rinky, are you giving us a roadmap on like finding things?
I don't know. I mean, there's like 250,000 books in Amazon about finding your thing and finding your purpose. So I don't know if anybody has it all figured out yet. I think it's an ongoing process and journey, but I'd love to share some things that have worked for me, and hopefully people listening can take away something from that and apply it to their lives. So I think it'll make for an interesting conversation for sure.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So before we dive into that and really unpack it, go ahead and tell us a little bit more about you. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question in itself, right? Since we're talking about all our one things, because we're not just one thing. But anyway, in the SLP world, I'm an adult medical SLP. And before diving in, I will want to welcome you back as well, because I know people have really missed you. And I think if your one thing is educating people, you've really made a difference with your conversation. So again, thanks for having me and welcome back. So I'm an adult medical SLP. My journey started in the city of Mumbai in India. That's where I'm from. I did my undergrad in speech pathology, came to the United States. Funnily enough, on this day, actually 13 years ago, I left India and came to the U.S., and my one thing at the time was like, I want to be an ASHA certified medical SLP. That was my dream. Came here, did my, master's from UT Dallas. And since then I've worked across different states and in different settings like acute care, skilled nursing, inpatient rehab, followed my husband through his medical training and residency. And since the past 3 years, I've been working as the adult outpatient lead at the University of Mississippi Medical Center. So I'm definitely a clinician and patient advocate first, but then over the years, I've had the opportunity to wear other hats like being an educator, a researcher, an ASHA volunteer. I'm on their scientific and professional education board. And since 5 years, I've also been an entrepreneur. So I've been running the Swallowing Training and Education Portal, stepcommunity.com, with Dr. Yanessa Humbert, where we educate clinicians and students about swallowing and swallowing disorders. So it's definitely been a long and fun journey figuring out my many one things, but I still feel like I have miles to go.
That's amazing. I love your journey. Thank you for that snapshot of it. And happy 13-year anniversary. What a celebration.
I know. I always try to look back because I think it grounds you and kind of reminds you who you were back then, right? And where you came from.
I'm also so jealous that, you know, when you came here, you had a very clear picture of what you wanted. I feel, but you also talked about how even with all of the different parts of our field that you've been involved in over the years, that you still feel like you're growing and learning and like you haven't like achieved it. Like you're still working for it in a sense, even though like you are a medical SLP, like you did it, you know, and you do it very well. Like that doesn't mean you're sitting back and resting. Does that make sense?
I think that's the whole, if we had to like describe this episode in one nutshell, that is the whole point. That if you reach a one thing and feel like this is it, I've accomplished everything, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Like, I think what I realized the minute I got my C's was like, oh my God, this is just the beginning. That was my one thing back then when I was 21. And now my next one thing is maybe working in acute care. And then my next one thing would be, I want to volunteer with ASHA, whatever that might be for different people. If we rest on our accomplishments and laurels, we're going to be so unfulfilled because then you have nothing to work towards and there's no growth because you're not learning anything new and you're not doing anything that scares you. So I hope what people take away from this today is that you need to keep having those one things. And eventually, someday, we might feel like we made a difference and left behind a legacy.
Yeah, I agree. I also like the concept that you just shared, I think unknowingly a little bit. Like I picked up on this, that you don't have to find one thing and that be it for you forever. Like your one thing can keep changing. You know, you can be really passionate about active listening, like we had a discussion on that earlier in the series. And then over time, you can find another topic, another area that captures your interest, that you become passionate about. So I like that flexibility. I like that it's not like, oh, you found your one thing. Now that's your defining moment for the rest of your life.
I know, right? That would be extremely boring. And again, I think I'm sure you've heard the terms growth mindset and fixed mindset. I think that would really exemplify a fixed mindset where we're just doing one thing over and over the same way and never learning and never changing. But I think as we grow, there's going to be new things that excite you. There's going to be new issues that need solutions. There's going to be new things you're passionate about. And that's kind of, I have this framework. I don't know if it makes sense. I should probably like trademark it if it becomes really famous after this episode, but it's a framework that's helped me, and I love acronyms. So I call it the GOAT framework, G-O-A-T. So G stands for goal setting. A stands for doing one thing at a time. O stands for doing one thing at a time. A stands for authenticity. And then T stands for trusting your gut and your intuition. And I think all of those kind of help you discover your purpose and your one thing over time and allow you to be successful. So I'd love to talk more about some of these if you feel like that might be interesting.
Girl, I love an acronym. I love a framework. I love like a simple mnemonic device. This is speaking my language. So yes, I want to talk more about this.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, this is totally made up. Please don't go looking and researching GOAT framework. I don't know if it exists somewhere, but it's literally like made up in my brain. So yeah, I like to break things down, and I think there is a lot of pressure, especially in med SLP, where you want that coveted acute care job. At least when I graduated, that's what it was like. Or you need that certification to be successful. Or like, oh my God, you have to know everything about aphasia, dysphagia, voice cognition, like everything about everything, because you have to be this expert and do the best for your patients. There's just a lot of pressure and fear out there about everything you're supposed to be just after graduation. And I think it's completely unrealistic. Even with social media, there's this whole thing about hustle culture and influencers and followers and subscribers and people feigning expertise in 1 year after their CF when they barely have any experience just because they can make TikTok videos. Like, that's not the world we should live in, but we do. And I think it constantly makes us feel underappreciated, undervalued, constantly makes us criticize how much we don't know. And it's taken me a lot of years to move away from that and recognize, like, what is it that I want to do? And I think the first step in that is setting goals, right? So that's the G. I think we're so good at setting goals for our patients. We've all learned the SMART framework. Specific, realistic, achievable, time-bound goals, measurable goals. But how much do we really sit down and do that for ourselves? So what's really helped me is not figuring out the one big thing. Your one big thing can be anything. But what is it that I want to accomplish this week, this month, this year? It could be one goal about just aphasia, dysphagia. It could be a leadership goal. It could be I want to volunteer with the state association. I want to educate other clinicians. Whatever that might be, instead of trying to multitask and hustle and have like 10 things in your plate and just be average at everything, what's really helped me is trying to tease out something that sparks joy and speaks to me and is going to help me in my career path, and just identifying those 3 to 5 big things I want to accomplish this year, and then making sure I have that SMART framework to apply to it, and then working relentlessly towards those and not allowing everything else that I see around me on social media, people tell me to be a distraction.
Yeah, I get distracted easily. So I felt that.
Do you want to add anything? Like, do you feel like we do enough to set goals for ourselves professionally?
I can speak personally, and I think professionally, I set goals when I see a need, like in my patient population, in my caseload. Like if I'm presented with something that exceeds my current knowledge base or experience base, then I'm like, okay, how are we going to bridge this gap? But I don't think I do anything super formal about like really setting down, and there might be an overall goal, like, hey, I got to get better at this. I got to bring something to the table that's going to be meaningful for this patient. But I don't think that I do the work of breaking down that overall goal into smaller, more manageable chunks. Like step one, do a literature review, see what's out there. Like I don't make it formal. Like I do those things. Like I'm going to do a Google Scholar search. I'm going to go through the codex in my brain about like, what SLPs do I know that have talked about an interest in this area? Like who can I reach out to in my network to ask for some insight and guidance if they have any? Because we're all such helpful people. We want to be there for each other. And so like, that's kind of how I approach those situations, but it's not a formal thing. Like I don't really sit down and approach it like a goal.
And we should, right? Considering we do that every single day for each of our patients, I learned this a lot later too. I just thought, I won't take names, but like I need to get that certification because then I won't get a job as a med SLP, because that's what you're told. That's what you hear. I need to, you know, attend an ASHA conference because it's really good for networking. Says who, right? And then you've blown up $1,000 now, and then you already are a new CF, not feeling great about your student loans, and you don't even know why you did it. It's just, it doesn't even add up to what you're trying to accomplish that year. Is it, you know, is it meeting any of your personal and professional goals? So I think that's an important start, to just start thinking about checking things off, accomplishing things, and working towards finding your one thing. This may not be the one thing you do, but it'll, that kind of brings me to my next point in the framework, is doing one thing at a time. So what I realized in setting goals that were more dysphagia specific or med SLP specific and leadership specific for me, but again could be anything across any setting in SLP for someone else, is we have to do these things one thing at a time and see our career as a series of one things or a series of steps. And then I'm sure everybody's heard of dominoes, like the domino effect. And what I've read about a lot in the literature and realize is that we, once we do these one things relentlessly, and like I said, minimize distractions, eventually success becomes sequential. It's not simultaneous. So it's exponential. You'll see the domino effect and the progression of these one things done really well one after another in the next 5 years, when you'll reach somewhere and be like, wow, that's the impact those one things have had. And this is where I've reached, but you're not going to realize it in the moment. And I think a lot of SLPs tend to be more type A, where they need to know what every effort is leading to, right? It's like, I'm doing this. What does that mean? How am I going to reach Y goal by doing X thing? And sometimes it's, we can't possibly know, because you just don't even know where doing that one thing will take you, who you're going to meet, what opportunities will come out of it. So I think we have to be very okay with uncertainty and not knowing. And like I said, one thing will lead to another. And I feel like that's how my life has been. It's just something great has come out of just having faith and taking those small steps one day at a time.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of taking one thing at a time. And what that's looked like in my practice is, you know, every day I work, I'm presented with pockets of knowledge that I'm unfamiliar with, because the things that go wrong with the human body that result in communication, cognitive, swallowing, voice problems are vast, and we can't know everything. So I pick one area to kind of focus on at a time to feel like I have more to offer. And then I can turn my focus to another area. I can't rotate personally through all the different areas of our field. Like one day I do some research on aphasia, and then the next day it's voice, mm-hmm. and the next day it's dysphagia. Like, I can't rotate through all of that so fast. I have to kind of like sink in and build up knowledge and practice in an area at a time.
And that's how it should be, right? Like, Rome wasn't built in a day. We, you know, all those proverbs you hear. I don't know how we move from that to the whole hashtag hustle hard and do 10 things at a time. And the whole, I think with, you know, we live in a world of instant gratification and Uber Eats and Amazon Prime and scrolling relentlessly. And I think I'm in the same boat where you're just, there's information overload and you constantly feel like you need to be doing 10 things at a time. And I think it's hard to step away from that mindset, which is probably why you took a break too with the podcast, because you probably just need to realign your mission and your values and refocus and figure out where you need to devote your energies. If I'm assuming that's what happened with you, right?
Yeah, nailed it. Good job, Rinky. That's exactly what happened.
So I think that's a good segue to my third point in the framework, is authenticity is A. And again, I think just speaking from personal experience, I came from India, like I said, very clear about what I wanted to do, and then felt completely lost because now I was a medical SLP, not knowing anything about what I wanted to do and having to figure out things in different states, in different settings. When I had to switch from acute care to a skilled nursing, I thought it was the biggest disappointment in my life, which is horrible. But that was the culture on social media. Like, your SNF job is going to suck. Like, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. There's productivity issues and ethical issues. And I was so scared about a job I didn't even know anything about because I had fallen for that peer pressure of what that job means. And I think it was the most life-altering job I had because I really saw what happens to elderly people. I saw how hard it is to work in a place where nobody else is supporting you, where you're the only patient advocate, wanting them to not be on feeding tubes, allowing them to eat, advocating for instrumentals. My job was 10 times harder in a SNF than it is in acute care, but the growth I had in those 4 years and the way it changed my passion for the profession, for educating clinicians, for advocating for my patients, is something I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life. And I think anybody who thinks a SNF job is easier than an acute care don't know what they're talking about. It is literally the hardest thing clinicians have to do, especially coming out of CF. So anyway, the point being, what I realized over the years is whatever job you take or whatever setting you end up in, and the goals you make for yourself have to be authentic to you. You shouldn't go after a certification because somebody said that's going to make you more marketable. Or, you know, pursue a course because you think that's what patients want. If you're not seeing patients with Parkinson's and voice, that LSVT is not going to mean anything to you. And if you don't see dysphagia, vital stim is going to mean nothing to you. So be authentic. There's two TED Talks that I love, and I'll be sharing that with you, Leanne. One is by Simon Sinek. It's called Find Your Why. Start with why, because that's how great leaders inspire action. And the other one is about finding your life purpose in 5 minutes. I don't recall who it's from, but it's a talk that stayed with me. And they both just talk about, we all know what we do. I'm an adult medical SLP. How do you do it? I go to work, blah, blah, blah. I see patients. But what's your why? If that job goes away, that setting goes away, how are you transforming lives? What is the impact you have that's bigger than yourself, that's going to stay with you irrespective of all the other variables that are taken away? So I think it's really important that we take time off, introspect, reflect, and find our why. And that will lead to a job that's really fulfilling and that we can kind of take with us for the rest of our lives.
This is so wonderful, Rinky. I'm like, this is what I need to hear at this point in my career, because not only did I have to hit pause on the podcast and like rethink that, I'm also at a very big transition point in my own career, and I'm grappling with lots of big questions, and I've had to reevaluate, how do I define myself as a person? Mm-hmm. And if I no longer practice as an SLP, does that make me less of a person? Like, how do I define myself? What are my values? What does it mean to contribute to the world around me? How can I do that in the medical SLP field while avoiding other areas that don't align with my values, that I don't want to be associated with. So I'm looking forward to watching those TED Talks. I'm like, thanks for doing the work for me, Rinky.
I think we tend to define ourselves and our identity so much by what we do. Especially, again, I will say this, it's in America, because it's a more work-focused culture. It's a more individualistic culture. I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't want to, that's just the culture. So you tend to define your identity as, yeah, what you do, how are you making a difference in people's lives? But it tends to be more job focused and setting focused. And so like my personal why, like I said, was always, I want to be an adult medical SLP. But the why is I want to make a positive difference in people's lives. I want to know that, like you said, the work aligns with my values and ethics. It's allowing me to constantly grow and to contribute to the profession or to people globally. Like, I want to know I'm helping people in India because that's my home as much as I'm helping people here. For somebody else, if your goal is a certain lifestyle or finances or money, that's great. You've identified that. Go after whatever job you need that gets you that money. And if for someone else, the job is, I don't care about money, I just want fame, be an influencer on social media. It's okay, whatever your why is. But I think if we don't identify that, it's really easy to get wavered and not have clarity in all these other things we talked about. And then you'll just be doing the wrong one thing over and over and feeling dissatisfied.
That's exactly it. That's so true. And I feel like I had a nebulous why, and I thought I had kind of clearly defined it, but that didn't stop me from still getting off track and having to refigure that out. And yeah, like, I feel like I'm working backwards. Like, I've got to go back to the beginning because I like skipped over a couple key parts.
I think that's, I mean, there are no parts though, right? Like, who defines those parts? Who says this step has to come before that step? Like, I really don't even think there needs to be a roadmap. Honestly, we all have our own journey. We're all unique people. Just like our patients, nobody with aphasia is recovering the same way. You can have all the evidence and frameworks in front of you. I'm not saying you shouldn't know what those things are that you're doing, and your therapy has to be, has structure, but every person's going to respond so differently to what you present them with. And we know all those variables like motivation, your personality, support at home, so many things that can change the trajectory of recovery. So I think we should have the same, like, we should have the same kindness and compassion towards ourselves. And just be like, it's okay, we missed a few steps, we'll figure it out. And that kind of brings me to my last point in the framework, is trusting your intuition and trusting your gut. And again, from personal experience, I came from an Eastern culture that talks a lot about like spiritual stuff and meditation and yoga. And, you know, India cultivates all of that. And then I came to the US where I thought all this is, I don't know, nobody spoke about this stuff when I was here. And I thought, it's weird to talk about intuition and gut and all of this is crap I don't need to be thinking about. And I started being very like over analytical in my approach towards life and everything. And I realized that something just felt off every time. And I think now there's all the science and studies talking about your gut being your second brain and having like over 100 million neurons lining your digestive tract. And there's surveys that leaders of in every field use intuition and gut more to make decisions than experience or like expertise. So if something feels off, I think know that you need to trust your gut. You need to trust your intuition. If you're going to end up in a setting or with people that feels negative and feels toxic, it's going to drain you and change you in ways that you might reach a point where it's very, very hard to recover from that because it's changed you permanently. So I think, you know, it's hard, but if you can't accept the situation or you can't change the situation, I think you need to do whatever you can to get away from it. Find another setting that works for you. Find another patient population. Even if your peers think it's the most ridiculous life decision, you'll know in your gut what feels right to you. And I think we all have to, instead of just complaining about issues in our profession, need to be creative, find solutions, take those risks, and just trust our gut. And that's the only way things are going to change.
Yeah, I really like that. And I'm so glad you can draw from, you know, alternating perspectives and different experiences. And I like that you mentioned, like, you know, here in the US, we don't, it's like you described it, like more analytical, like we bring less of the other sphere of like spirituality to the everyday. And if we do talk about it, if we talk about something like balancing your mental health, we still want to make it like medical. Mm-hmm. And we want to take the quote like woo woo out of it. And then we call it something like woo woo. Like we immediately demean it and try to make it something less than, like it's not on the same par as something found in a published journal or that's been studied rigorously, you know. It's like,
yeah, it's changing. I mean, I do think, you know, there's so much talk about mindfulness now. There's so much talk about meditation, work-life balance. I think even in the past 5 years, like the whole conversation through COVID, through all these life experiences has changed. But again, coming from a culture where it's very much part of like everyday conversation and it's something that's cultivated and even respected, I do think we have a little ways to go. Like, I don't think any of us think about incorporating stuff like that in therapy or, you know, talking about that stuff with our patients, but it's such an important part of the human experience. So I think I'm still learning how to bring that into my professional life and do other things that beyond this framework that just can be applied generally to finding your one thing is grit. So that's another thing I do want to make sure we touch upon. And I have a TED talk about that that I love. It's called Grit, the Power of Passion and Perseverance. It's also a book by Dr. Angela Duckworth, where she talks about the fact that there's study after study has shown that the people who really achieve success are not the ones with the most exceptional talent or skills. It's the people who persevere and have grit. And that's not some talent you can cultivate by repeated practice, but grit is just something you can cultivate it, but it's also something you need to have within. And just the more you pursue something, the more you're willing to think outside the box, step out of your comfort zone, conquer your fears, and just be willing to create your own path, not just follow what like 100 SLPs have done before us. I think you'll see the results of doing that over and over. And we'll all really feel fulfilled with what we're bringing to the table. Whether it's, I just want to go to work and see one patient at a time, and that's my one thing, because I want to be the best clinician I can be. Or you end up being ASHA president, or you end up just even leaving SLP and changing the field in a different way as an educator, a researcher. Whatever it is, I think if we just have grit, like I said, trust our intuition, stay authentic to ourselves, and really try to achieve our one thing over and over and over, I think we'll really see how we can change the experience of this profession, not just for ourselves and our patients, but even for clinicians all around us at a much larger level.
Mm, yeah, because I also want to like caution people not to think of grit as that perseverance of sticking with something that is slowly draining your life force. Mm-hmm. Because we might think, well, I'm a speech and language pathologist. I have sunk in a lot of time, resource, and money into this career. So I need to like get the return on investment. But going back to what you said earlier about like, what is your why? If your why is really helping people or having a meaningful impact in other people's lives, being a speech and language pathologist is just one of many different ways to achieve that goal. So maybe your grit and your perseverance is sticking with that why and not the why, your why of just identifying as a speech and language pathologist. That's my take home lesson for today.
Yeah. When I wrote my statement of purpose, did you all have to write a statement of purpose or was that just a thing for international students? I don't know. When you were applying to grad school, did you have to write something called a statement of purpose?
Girl, I have absolutely no idea. I had to write some kind of letter about like wanted to
That's go what it's to the program. Because we couldn't interview in person, right? You're in another country. There was no Zoom or anything back then. But it was basically a big essay and a bunch of questions you have to write besides your GRE and all of that. So I was looking at my statement of purpose the other day because I was helping another student trying to come here. And the last line in the statement of purpose was a quote by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it said, "Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there's no path and leave a trail." And this was written 15 years ago. So obviously it resonated with me back then. But I think even today, just thinking about my own journey and, you know, people around me who are now doing so many different things, that's just not your traditional SLP route. Even you with this podcast, it's something different. It's unique. And you're making an impact in a different way. We just all have to be willing to find our one thing over and over, like we said, have the grit to navigate that journey, but also not be afraid to do something that's never been done before. Mm-hmm. And then you will be blazing a trail that many after you will follow and changing the world for the better. So I really hope that's what people take away from this conversation today, is being okay with not having your one thing just yet, but constantly working towards growing and finding it and finding fulfillment in what you do.
Yes. And being able to pivot when you recognize maybe you're at a dead end. That's okay. Dead ends are fine. They're part of navigating this life. You get to take an opportunity and reevaluate and think of another way.
So what's your one thing? What's your one thing today? If you had to say what's your one thing today, what would it be?
I think it is, I think it's, I don't know, like I'm so nebulous, but I'm going to spitball. I think it's something to do with being a resource, like involved in education and having a meaningful impact on other people's lives. Like I feel driven to be supportive and to, it's almost like being a cheerleader too, of like other people's journeys. Like I've had a really good SLP friend who's like, "I'm thinking of exiting the field," and I'm not going to tell her, "No, don't do that. You're so valuable. This is such a great field." I'm going to be like, "You," like, and she had another opportunity and she described like how it fit her values, how it fit how she wanted to live her life. And I'm like, "That sounds amazing. That sounds great. Like, I completely support you. Like, let's like keep me updated. Like, I want to know all the things." So I feel like my one thing is, I don't know, enthusiasm.
Empowering others. No, you're what you said is described as empowering others. Like, I think you want to support others and be a resource, and that's amazing. And, you know, like we said, however you do it, whether you're an SLP or not, have a podcast or not, I'm sure you'll find your way to do that because that's your one thing.
I'm going to take that from you, Rinky. I really like that. I feel like you summarized everything really nicely into just empowering others. Like, I feel like that's my strength. I really enjoy doing that.
That's kind of all I had, really. I mean, I wanted to talk about that framework. I love that we had a vulnerable, honest, open conversation. Because like even Jordan said in her talk, like people don't discuss failures often, and they don't discuss not knowing things often. And I think, again, coming back to social media, all we see is people achieving things all the time. And I get that question all the time. "Oh my God, how are you doing so much?" It's a lot of sleepless nights. It's a lot of failures. It's a lot of taking risks. I'm not going to go on social media and cry about how hard it was for me as an immigrant and all the stuff I've faced for 13 years because I made a choice to come here. So then once you've made that choice, you can't complain that the system isn't working for you. It wasn't designed for you. And you have to find a way to fit into the system. And then when there are things that aren't right, you should speak up against it. That's happening now with Asha. I think being an Asha supporter and volunteer for many years, I've seen everything they've done right. But in the past couple of years, I've been very disheartened with a lot of things that are getting wrong. And I think if enough of us don't speak up and demand accountability from leadership, our association is not going to change. So we do need to speak up for a lot of things, but also, you know, just know that everything you see people displaying is just a snapshot of their happiest, most successful moments. And everybody's journey has ups and downs. So I'm glad we are talking about that stuff. And hopefully anybody listening will feel proud of their strengths and know that it's okay to have weaknesses. And I hope people will be better because of conversations like this. So thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed talking to you today.
Yeah, this was an excellent talk. I really appreciate the clarity that you brought to it and the life coaching that you did for me today. Rinky, thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Jordan called it a three-peat because this is my third time on, but hopefully there'll be many more to come.
Yes, that would be lovely. I'd be ecstatic. As we wrap up, though, what's your current one thing? Because I feel like it's morphed over the years. Would you say you have something more specific as your one thing, like right now in this time frame?
Yeah, I have many smaller one things. Like I said earlier, like there are some certain goals I want to accomplish as a medical SLP. But like the big picture one thing, I think I said it earlier, but it's for me, I want to know that the work I'm doing is helping people and empowering people, not just my patients, but helping to create positive change, empower clinicians globally, advocate for clinicians and students at the national level. So I want to know that it's every effort I make, whatever next steps I take towards my professional development has a bigger impact, because I want to know that I'm able to change the profession for the better in some way. So I don't know if I have it all figured out yet, but that's kind of what feels authentic to me right now in this moment.
That's beautiful, Rinky. But I've got bad news for you. That's not one thing. That's like 26.
I know, right?
But I love them all. So continue on.
Thank you. I'm sure, you know, life will present. Like I said, trust your gut. Like if a smaller one thing is I want my BCSS certification, but again, you know, I feel like trying to accomplish that allows you to put yourself out there and do leadership stuff and do volunteer stuff and educate others. That becomes part of that one thing. So I guess my one thing is there really is no one thing, and we're all kind of just figuring it out one day at a time.
Oh, Rinky, you were doing so good. You gave us like a framework. It was structured, and now you just blew it out of the water. You're like, guess what, guys? There is no one thing. We're always just figuring it out. That sounds right. I love it. Rinky, this was, as always, a delight. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the time, the effort, and the thought that you've put into this talk. If people want to continue this conversation with you or pick your brain about your experiences and other things that you mentioned in today's talk, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, you can email me. It's rinkyslp@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram @rinkyslp. I'm pretty responsive to anybody who wants to chat, anybody who can help me grow, has questions. Yeah, just reach out anytime.
Excellent. And thank you for all the work that you do for our field. I'm very grateful for it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And hopefully I'll talk to you again soon. And I'll be following you. I'm like one of your number one fangirls. Honestly, I think you're doing an amazing job. And I'll be listening to all the episodes. I'm excited.
Well, thanks. And to all of our wonderful listeners out there, I hope you've been able to enjoy all the directions that this talk has gone into, and that you're able to do some reflection and take that in so that it can nourish your practice, nourish your brain so that your practice can flourish, or just nourish and flourish in general. Like, go out and be awesome, because that's what you are.